It's good to have everybody here. We also had a little article in the bulletin. Linda wrote that. I didn't write it. She told me, said, you did a good article. I said, good. But thanking everybody for what they did for Friends and Family Day. Okay, that's it. Friends and Family Day. But we appreciate so very much. There was so much food back there. A great deal of preparation went into that. We appreciate you being here and you inviting your families. I was looking out last Sunday and I saw several pews that were just filled up with one family. That's always a good-looking thing. But we appreciate you working very hard for that and inviting other people to come and be a part of that. Today we're going to be studying about priorities just a little bit. Maybe looking at how to decide what we want to do. That's something we all have to do. And we all do it whether we like it or not. You've got to decide sometimes on some things. And the thing I had up here had a nice pink circle around it, but pink does not do good on this PowerPoint. So it's gone. But what it's saying is here's God and here's all these other things and we've got to make choices. Choices are not always easy to make. And sometimes you choose things and you think, I shouldn't have done that, I should have done this. And what do you do after that? How do you handle that? What do you do with that? Well, what we've got to do is to make some choices. And we're going to make those choices. We have to choose some things in our lives that hopefully are going to help us to be the right kind of people and do the things that we should be doing. But how do you make good choices? How do you decide some of these things? We mentioned this morning in Matthew 19, starting at verse 16 through 22, about the rich young ruler and some of the things that were going on in his life. He comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, you know, what do I need to do to have this eternal life, to be this person of God? What do I need to have in that? And Jesus told him, you need to obey this law, this law, this law. That. He said, listen, I've been doing those things from my youth up. I've been following every one of those things. A great young man. But Jesus said, there's one thing that you lack. One thing that you have made a choice not to do. He said, choose to give away all that you have and come and follow me. Some of the choices we have to make are not choices we want to make. This young man looked at his wealth and he couldn't give that up. He had a lot of things in his life that were right. But there were some things in his life that he had not prioritized in the right way. And we all do that. But what we're trying to do today is say, look at the decisions you make. Look at the priorities you have in your life and choose the right way so that it can help you to benefit and be the kind of person you need to be so that you can do those things and you don't have to look back on your life and regret some of the choices that you make, some of the priorities that you put in your life. We've got to be willing to do that. But when this young man was told to give his things away, to give his wealth away, it was more than he could choose to do. And so he chose to walk away, sadly. Jesus loved this young man, cared for him, but he could not be a disciple of Jesus Christ because he could not make the right kind of choices to do the right kind of things. There's a difference between what we say and what we do. In the spoken things that we say, the spoken priorities that we have, and what we're trying to do. Sometimes people say, well, I am this, when everybody around them is going, no, you're not. I'm doing this, we know you're not going to do that. What we have got to try to do is to understand we've got to make those priorities, those choices in our life, and we've got to do it in such a way as people will see that it's really us that's doing that. Help them to understand that we're the kind of people that we need to be. And sometimes we can fool ourselves. We can say, I'm this when I'm not. Some people have said, I'm a Christian when they're not a Christian. And so what we've got to do is to come back and look at the evidence to try to find out about that. That's the reason in Romans 6 and verse 16, it says, don't you know that to whom you present your bodies as servants, that's the one you're going to serve. That's the one that you're good, that's going to be your master. Now, we have to understand that. Sometimes we don't comprehend that. Sometimes we're thinking, oh, my master's this, well, my master's not that. And so what we're trying to do is talk about being realistic with ourselves, being those people that are honest and realistic with trying to help other people to be able to see this. We need to ask ourselves some questions, and that's what we want to do today, is look at some questions, hopefully, that will help us to be able to see some things there. How do I know what my priorities are? How can I find out what my priorities really are? Because sometimes we're fooling ourselves. Just like this young man that we mentioned. He had fooled himself into thinking, I'm doing everything exactly right. But you see, there was something in there that he knew. He knew that there was something missing. Are you that way? Do you realize there's something in your life that is missing? Something that you should have tried to do that maybe you haven't done? A priority that you need to put first in your life, but you're not doing it. But it's so hard to see that. So that's what we want to talk about today. What would others say about me in my life? Now, I can say that I'm this, I'm that, but what do others say? What does my wife say about me? What do my children say about me? What does my husband say about me? What does my mother and father say about me? What do I say about my mother and father? And what is the truth? You know, there's this thing over here that we live in, but there is also truth that we have to realize. What's the really true thing? How do other people see us? Do they see us as we see ourselves? Sometimes we're surprised to find out how other people view us. So we've got to look at ourselves, and we've got to try to be the kind of person that what we want to be is the person that we really, not just think we are, but who we really, really are, and show that to other people. Show who we are. Then secondly, we've got to be people that we are going to be looking at what we think about ourselves. How do we consider ourselves? What do I think about me? How do I look at me? And that's very, very important. I think that we've got to realize that. Our true priorities should be evident to us. What do we put first in our life? How do we put those things first in our life? How do we put those things there? There's a fellow named Richard Sibes. He said, what the heart lacks best, the mind studies most. What the heart lacks best, the mind studies most. What's on your mind most of the time? What do you think about? Maybe when things are not a pressure thing on you and you don't have all these things that you've got to consider, what are you thinking about there? Our true priorities are things that we dwell on, that we think about. And so we've got to find out what those things are. So maybe in some way you need to be able to look at that and see where your mind's at most of the time. What you're thinking about most of the time, because that's going to help you. The person who is looking at this, who thinks about God only when they're forced to, only when they have to, God's not first in their life. God's not first in their heart. If we've got to be forced to do it, it's not us making the decision. We're going along with another decision that was made for us. We're going along with something that was said to us. You know, Psalms, in Psalms 1 and verse 2, listen to what the psalmist said, starting this psalm off, setting it off and setting the tone for it. He said, but his delight, the child of God, the person that wants to serve God, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. He thinks about it. You know, I've heard people say, you are what you eat. I hope that's not true. But I can tell you something. You are what you think. You are what you think. And what we've got to do is to realize we've got to be the right kind of people that think the right kind of things. And our mind is set upon God. Our mind is set upon doing the will of God. Our mind is set upon that. And that's what we're thinking about most of the time. And if we don't, then maybe our priorities are not as right as they need to be. Maybe they're not where they need to be. All right, now, what do we talk about? Now, that's very important. What do we spend our time talking about? Now, think about that. I talk about cars a lot. I'm supposed to do that. Did y'all know that? Yeah, if you believe that, I can say you some other things too. But it's good to do that. I enjoy that. But I hope I don't talk as much about cars as I do about the Lord. I hope I don't talk about this thing more than I do the Lord, that the Lord's on my mind. And you see, if we do that, it's going to help us to be able to be with the people that we're with, the people we associate with, and help to talk to them about the Lord just a little bit. If we talk to them about what God has to say, because that's what our minds are thinking on. How would God like me to say what I'm fixing to say? Would He like me to say it in such a way that it's going to hurt that other person? Or would God like me to say it in a kind way? Would God like for me to invite that person to the worship services? Would God like for me to be able to be a little more kinder to that person there, even though they may just bother us to no end? What does God want me to talk about? What does He want me to talk about in talking to other people? Our conversation is certainly something that's important. Our conversation really shows what our priorities are and how we're speaking about those things that are there. We've got to be willing to do that. Jesus talked to some people about how they looked at themselves. And these people did not look at themselves as Jesus did. They looked at themselves as people who were serving God and doing God's will. But now listen to what Jesus said to them. I don't know if I could have said this or if I would have said this. But Jesus said this to them in Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35. You blood of vipers. Doesn't sound it starting out real well, does it? You blood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? How can you, that your life is so filled up with evil, and now you want to talk about good things? It's kind of like a person. I've had people that were just drunk, didn't know where they were, and they find out you're a preacher and they want to talk about religion. I don't want to do that with a person that's drinking. Quit drinking, let's talk about it then. That's not a good time to do that. But why do people want to do that? Well, it's just a way for conversation. It's a way to talk about that. But here He said, listen, you're evil and you're trying to speak good. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good things of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of his evil treasures, brings forth evil things. He's saying, listen, you put yourself forward as a person who's serving God, doing the will of God, following God, letting God be your guide, letting God be the one that directs your life. But He's not. Look at the evil things you do. Christians are to be Christ-like people. We're studying about discipleship in the Bible class on Sunday morning. We're trying to show in that disciples are those people that are following Jesus Christ. They're doing what He wants them to do. And it may be contrary to what they want to do. It may be contrary to what they have done in the past. But they want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That means you look for His direction. You look for what He wants you to do. These people here were saying one thing on one side, but Jesus saw them over here in the other way. What do people think about you and your Christianity? How do they look at you and your Christianity? Do they look at you as though you're hypocritical? Or do they look at you as that person is really trying to be a child of God? They're not perfect, but they're trying to follow God. They're trying to do God's will. So here, they're going to be willing to use themselves. Even if we talk about spiritual things, that does not necessarily mean that we're spiritual people. We've got to be people who live those spiritual things. We talked this morning in Bible class, sorry to keep going back to that, but we talked about the Sermon on the Mount. It was not just a sermon that was delivered. It was a way of life that was dictated to people that were going to follow Jesus Christ. It was a way of life that they were supposed to live. It wasn't just rules that they were supposed to follow. And you check off this rule and check off that rule. It's giving us a picture of a person there, a person of God, and how they're going to conduct themselves. And Jesus there, in those short couple of chapters there, help us to see the kind of people we need to be as we live in this world. And it's just a way of life. It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's not law. But it's just the way we live our life. That's what God wants us to do. And what we're doing then is saying we want God to be the one that dictates our priorities in our life. And so one of the first things we're going to have to do is allow God to dictate the priorities of our life. What are the most important things in it? Not what do I think they are. That really makes very little difference. But what does God think are the priorities in my life? What does God say? This is the thing you need to that needs to be first in your life. And I think God does that, and He helps us to be able to see that. Now, here's some things that we need to consider. How do we spend our time? You know, I've got here, how do we spend our spare time? You say, I don't have any spare time. Every hour is accounted for. Yes, we do. We have things that we want to do, and we do them. Now, we're going to, it may be something that other people may not like. Okay, that's you know, life. But how do we use that spare time? What do we do with that spare time that we have? How do we take that and use it in such a way as to help and all? Some people have vacation time. I've known of people that took their vacation and they went out to do to help in a gospel meeting. I know people have taken their vacation and went over to India with Robert and others doing mission work. They've done that thing. That's what they use. You say, well, that's my time. Yes, but what if you use it for God? Is it going to help you to be drawn closer to God and closer to other people? How do we use that? I've known of people, and we've done this here, where some of you have taken your time and we've gone places, we've done vacation Bible schools, and you say, well, I put that as priority. Some people say, no, it's my time. It's my vacation. I want to use that to recoup myself. It'll surprise you at how doing God's will invigorates you, draws you closer to God, draws you closer to other people in the church. Those people that go on those mission trips together, they've got a friend for life. I can just about tell you all the people I've been on mission trips with and how wonderful it is. They're still a part of my life. And they're going to continue to be a part of my life. They're there. That's making that priority. To me, the best thing there. Not only this, but doing other things in the church. And we can talk about what it is. You know, we don't realize how important the fellowships are that we have with each other, the association with each other, inviting people over to our house so that they can be with us and we can be with them. That draws us closer together. That helps us to see sometimes what our priorities need to be. And you can see those priorities in the life of people. You can see them as they take those things and use them as important. How do we use our time? How do we value that time that we have? Listen at 1 John 3 and verse 18. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Listen to this part now. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came here, and we see in the Bible where it said He came here not to do His own will, but to do His Father's will. That was the whole thing. He came here to speak for God. He came here to live for God. He came here to encourage other people to be a part of that. He came here to help people to see how important it was, and He used His spare time in that. Remember those times that He would take those disciples and pull them out of a teaching situation and carry them up to a mountain, and there He was able to teach with them. There they were able to rest because He was one that used His spare time wisely. How do we use our spare time? But not only that, look at this one. I got to thinking about this and I thought, maybe I need to mark this one out. How do we use our extra money? Whew. Anybody in here got extra money? Come on, somebody's got it. All of us think, I don't have any extra money. I spend my stuff on things that are important. That's exactly right. A new fishing pole, a new boat. Do I have to say a car? Should I really say that? I look out and I see people that they have no extra money, but every one of them have a cell phone. Now, you don't have any extra money. You say, oh, you've got to have a cell phone. No, you don't. No, you don't. Everybody else has got one. So why don't, if you need one, just ask them, can I borrow your phone for a minute? I told you that's what my son told my grandson. My grandson said, I'm the only one at Mars Hill that doesn't have a phone. He was 12, or he was 11. His daddy said, do all the other kids have them? He said, yes. He said, just borrow theirs if you need to make a call. Neither one of them got a cell phone until they were 12. Oh, how terrible, how awful, how difficult. But you see, what we've got to do, we've got extra money. How do we use that extra money? How do we do that? It's always fascinated me. We have got so many periodicals in the church, Christian Chronicle and other papers that are in the church, and most Christians never avail themselves of those things. And then we wonder why our knowledge is not greater. We spend for this and we spend for that. And we buy what we want to buy. You say, oh, I don't get to do that. Oh, yes, you do, and you know you do. Do we do those things? We've got an extra $20. Do we go buy a religious book so that we can find out more about God and God's Word or how to live the Christian life? Or do we just spend that on other things? You say, you know, this is not preaching. This is meddling. It's what preachers are supposed to do part of the time, is hopefully be honest with you. How do we use our money? Do we use that extra money we have, or do we use what we have to glorify God, to help us to be better Christians and live the Christian life in a better way? Is that what we do? Oh, do we just spend that on ourselves? Do we use it for ourselves? How are we going to do that? How are we going to use that? How do we spend that extra money? When I think about this, I think about the church of Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, listen to these verses. My brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. How God has given His grace to the church of Macedonia. How did they know? How did He know that they had done that? Was it some miraculous way? I don't think so. It was a simple way. Listen as He goes on, verse 2. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches for their liberality. These people had faced wars and problems and troubles in their life. They'd faced difficulties there that were just astounding. Even the government had cut their taxes. That chance, that's going to happen for us, isn't it? But these people gave. In fact, they did not only gave, they were willing to beg to be able to give. For I bear them witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, what they were able to do, but they did it beyond what they're able to do. They were freely willing, imploring us, begging us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves. They first gave themselves. You see, these people looked at this and said, we don't have any extra money. Sound like us? But they found it somewhere. And they were willing to give. They looked at their priorities and they made them. And said, these things are more important than this over here. These things are more important maybe than just the food that we eat. These things are more important than anything else. How do we use our money? How do we use our extra money? How do we give? How do we give to God? How do we sacrifice for God? If we know that something is coming up, can't we save and use that in a proper way and conduct ourselves in the proper use of money? Can't we teach our children how to give and how to do for God and how to use our money in a proper way? That's what we're supposed to do as parents. That's a part of what we've got to be willing to do. Now, look at this. Almost through with this one, okay? Why do we choose? What do we choose? Which way do we go? When we face a conflict, how do we make a decision on that? I'm going to give you some simple ways. All I know how to do is simple. The first thing we need to do is to find out, what does God think about it? Whatever decision you got to make, the first thing you need to decide is, what does God think about this? How does God view this? How does God view the idea of the young people years ago, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? What decision would He make? And sometimes we know the decision that he would make, but what we do is do what we want to do. So first of all, find out what God thinks about it. You might talk to someone who is a spiritual person, who you consider a very spiritual person, and say, listen, I've got a decision to make about this. What do I do? Do I take this job or that job? What do I do? How do I decide that? Talk to a spiritual person, and they can help you to make the right decisions. And they can help you to make a good decision. Ronald Reagan, his aunt carried him on one occasion when he was younger to have a pair of shoes made. Now, he was an older fellow. And the cobbler there that was going to make the shoes said, well, do you want the toes to be in a point or do you want them to be kind of cut off? He said, I don't know. And finally the cobbler said, well, think about it for a couple of weeks and come back and let me know. And so he said he thought about it and said he ran up on the cobbler. And the cobbler said, have you decided on those shoes? He said, I just don't know what to do. He said, okay, come by next week and I'll have the shoes for you. He thought, how's he going to have the shoes for me when he doesn't know what kind I want? So when he got there, he had two shoes. One had a sharp toe, one was cut off. And said the cobbler told him, don't let other people make the decisions for you. You make the decision. Because you may end up with what you don't want. So you decide what is right for you. And you don't allow other people to decide for you. You don't allow other people the opportunity to decide what you're going to do and how you're going to do things. We're going to have to do it for ourselves. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 said, Demas has forsaken me. He's loved the world. Demas made a decision. It was a very radical decision. Am I going to stay in the church and stay with Paul, or am I going to just go back in the world and live like I want to? He made a decision. Was it a wise decision? Was it a foolish decision? I had a question. How come we can look at other people's lives and we can make great decisions for them, but we don't do it for ourselves? And I think I know the reason. I think I know the answer. Because we're selfish and we want what we want. For other people, we can see the decisions they need to make and the ones that would be right for them. What we've got to do is to see our decisions and see the kind of decisions that we need to be willing to make, and we need to be making them in the right way. How do I know, in all honesty, what my priorities are? I need to look at them and see the benefits that they give to me. I need to see what they're going to be willing to give me. I need to be willing to look at those things and understand that. Romans 6 and verse 16, do you not know, don't you know, that to whom you present your bodies as servants to obey, his servants you are. Look at the decisions that you've made. Are they helping you to be a better Christian? Are they helping you to live the Christian life? Are they helping you to be drawn closer to God? Or are they helping you to get what you want in life? That's probably the reason that a lot of people are not here today. They've decided what they want. And coming to church today was not one of them. And coming to church next week may not be one of them. We've made a decision. But please look at the end of that decision and see what the benefit's going to be. Hopefully we look at it before we decide that. But if we don't, then let's just start looking at the decisions that we're making and seeing if it's helping us to be drawn closer to God. And if it's not, then we're not making good decisions. Our priorities are not right. And we need to decide those things that are going to be good. We've got to do that. We've got to be willing to see these things in a clearer way. And one way we can do that is by looking at the conclusion of the decisions that we've made in our life. Some people can look at decisions they've made in their life and it doesn't change them. They're going to keep on making the wrong decisions. Don't do that. That's so foolish. If you know what you're doing is wrong, then don't do it. You say, but I've got to. No, you don't. You've got to decide not to. Is it easy to decide not to? No, it's not easy to decide. We don't change real well. We don't like change that much. But what we've got to do is to be willing to change. How do you make the decisions you make? What are your priorities? What's the most important thing in your life? Today, you sit down with just a sheet of paper and you write down what you think is the most important thing in your life. And then you look at what you're doing and how you're living, how the decisions that you're making. Are they helping you to be able to do that? I hope you put down serving God's the greatest thing in your life. What are you doing to help you to do that? There's a lot of people that are not here today. If you were to go ask them, well, are you a Christian? They'd say, yes. Okay, now, let's look at the priorities in your life. Are you giving to God? No. Are you worshiping with God? No. Are you fellowshipping your brethren? No. Are you studying your Bible? A little, but really not much. How are you going to change? How's your life going to be different? We have to change the way we are. That's the whole thing of religion. It's changing because if you go just like you are, you'll make physical decisions that will help you physically, but they may not help you spiritually. Today, you've got a decision to make. Do I want to respond to the invitation or not? And it is yours to decide.